Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us today, ranging everywhere from Oklahoma to Alaska. So we are, and some right here in Las Vegas. So we are glad to have you worshiping with us. Just wanted to bring everybody's attention to our membership board there in this next room with the pictures of our members. Sean put up a little sign, the Barnabas board. If you have a little note of encouragement, Barnabas was known as son of encouragement. If you want to leave a little note for somebody up there, brighten their day, put it up there, and when they see it, it will make their day. They got to show up to get the note though. So anyway, there's a catch to it. Got to show up. We're going to look at the gospel today. It's a word I don't mean this flippantly. We throw around that word and use it quite a bit. About the gospel, there's a lot of things that we use in conversation or in sermons or in classes, you know, being in Christ, being covered by His blood, things like that that we kind of know what it means, but we may not. We use the word the gospel. We hear the word the gospel quite often, but exactly what is it? What is it saying? The gospel, and being from Oklahoma, I'm still working on English, but Greek, if I remember it right, it's euangelion, the Greek word. It literally is translated good news.
Amen.
And it is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. And when we use the word, the gospel, the phrase, the gospel of Christ, the gospel, the gospels, things like that, it is a good way to remember it. It means the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. If that's not good news, I don't know what it is.
Amen.
The fact, not the fact that he died, that's kind of, if the story ended there, that's a sad story. But it's the fact that he died, he was buried, and he overcame death. He raised and had a victory in death. That is good news. And then also the teachings. A lot of times the word the gospel is equated with the teachings of Jesus. You know, we hear the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is about the life and the ministry and his death and resurrection and the teachings that he gave. So when we hear that word, the gospel, that's what we're referring to. You even look it up in like Strong's Bible Dictionary. It says this. Webster's Dictionary says this. And some of the dictionary terms will have a synonym for something as accepted as the truth. That you can accept somebody's word as the gospel. Means that they're telling the truth. The gospel is true.
Amen.
And one of the we're going to look at some various aspects of the gospel this morning. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he says, For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, Paul knew more knowledge than just the fact there was a guy named Jesus, he died and was crucified. You know he knew more than that. But when you boil down Paul's teachings, it's based around this. That's what he taught people about. That's what he urged people to get back to. Amen. When they strayed. To get to this. One of the things about the gospel we need to establish with people when we study with them is that it happened. It was true. That a man named Jesus did live. There are some people, even in the first century, very shortly removed from the life of Jesus, that was promoting the idea that Jesus did not come in the flesh. That he was a mystical, he was a concept. That he was the idea is great. You look at some of the things like Aesop's Fables and stuff. Those things really didn't happen, but they give a good lesson. There are people that equate Jesus with that, a fable. That it's a good story, or the fact that he was a good teacher. Some people say he never existed in flesh. There's other people that say he existed in flesh, but he is a good teacher. He wasn't the Son of God. His lessons are good. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. Their logic is flawed right there, because if he wasn't who he said he was, he can't be a good teacher and be a liar. Because he claimed he was the Son of God. He either was or he wasn't.
Amen.
It happened. He did live. There was a real person named Jesus. He was crucified. Buried. In a tomb. And 3 days later, he conquered death. If that did not happen, we are wasting our time right now. We've wasted our time in Bible class. We've wasted our time here. We just took a piece of unleavened bread and a sip of juice. If that did not happen. In John 1:14, the Apostle John wrote, "And the Word became flesh." At the first part of that chapter, in the beginning, it says, "In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God and dwelt among us." The Word became flesh. And John says, "Dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." If He wasn't who He said He was, not only is Jesus a liar, the Apostle John's a liar. If He didn't come in the flesh and live a life, don't tell John He didn't come in the flesh.
Amen.
He walked, He talked with Him, ate with them, leaned upon His breast at the Last Supper, described as the apostle that Jesus loved. Don't tell John he didn't, that he wasn't real. In Luke 1, verse 2, it says, "Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us." There were people that were eyewitnesses to to that. The Apostle Peter wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." It wasn't a figment of Peter's imagination when he got out of the boat and found himself walking on the water to Jesus and he began to sink. It wasn't a figment of his imagination who snatched him up out of the water, saved him. It wasn't a figment of his imagination that he denied three times. And when the rooster crowed, he looked over at Jesus. And they made eye contact, and he went out and wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. It did happen. Jesus was real. The passage that Don read to us today, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas," which was Peter, "and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." What an experience that was been for Paul. He saw Jesus. It blinded him. And then he got his sight back because of Jesus. One of the things we need to know about the gospel, it saves us. The gospel saves us. It is powerful. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are also, which also you are saved." That gospel message saves us. That Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead, that we too can be raised. That we don't have to look at death as the final end of everything. That we can be saved through that gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Amen. It is open for all. It is open for anybody who will accept and obey those gospel message teachings. In Ephesians, it says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Look at how the gospel is being equated here with truth. The word of truth, and then it describes it, the gospel of your salvation. "In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Another thing about the gospel, we have to share it. I hate to give you credit, but I got to. Daryl said years ago, that when we go to heaven, we need to bring others with us. That stuck with me. That stuck with me like glue. And it's not just important enough for us to be saved. We need to share it and take as many people
Amen.
With us to heaven as we can. We never know the influence we might have on others. Now, we don't brag about it. We don't chalk it up like a gunfighter with notches on his belt or something like that. We may never know the influence we had on somebody.
Amen.
But won't it be something? I don't know if we will recognize people. The scriptures kind of seem like I doubt it. But wouldn't it be a hoot to be up there, judgment, getting ready to go in and look around? That person I told about, they're here too. That you might have had a little bit of an influence on somebody. Hey, there's so-and-so. We need to take and share it. It's up to them whether they accept it. Just like with the apostles. Just like with Jesus. Not everybody that Jesus talked to accepted him. Jesus preached to a lot of people that rejected his word. A lot of people rejected Paul's word. And they're better teachers than us. I know better teachers than me. But we never know who we might have an influence on.
Amen.
In Matthew 28, we call it the Great Commission. At the end of Jesus' life, before he was taken back up into heaven, he's telling the apostles, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We're talking about that in Bible class today. How they're all, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all separate, but it's all jumbled up together. I understand it much better than I can explain it. But they're all one. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. They had to share it. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have to share it just like the apostles did. Somebody shared it, thank goodness, with us. Somebody to share the gospel, or maybe multiple people. I know in my circumstance, there was a number of people that shared the gospel with me and had an influence on me to become a Christian. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul wrote to Timothy, says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is that self-replicating cycle. We've heard it, we teach others, and then they will teach others. And it just keeps going. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Paul was compelled. Not only was he told to, and he had his eyes opened, he was blind on the road to Damascus. But his eyes were opened, and he got vision. And then when he got his sight back, he understood what he had to do. He'd lived his life up to that point rejecting Christ. He lived his life from that point promoting and living Christ. That's what we need to do. We need to share the gospel. Paul understood his knowledge. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Here's a man that has knowledge. What a shame if he wouldn't have. He had so much to offer, so much knowledge of scriptures that he could share with others. You may not have the knowledge Paul has, but you know what? You can share what you know. You can share all the knowledge that you know with somebody else. We have to obey the gospel. And we have to uphold it. We have to defend it. Maybe even with our lives. Galatians 1, starting in verse 6, Paul is writing to the Galatians. We studied this a few months ago in Bible class, a Wednesday night Bible class. We studied the book of Galatians, and this verse kind of sums up the direction his letter was going. People had strayed from the original teachings and were bringing in perverted teachings, false teachings. And Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There's only one gospel. There's only one truth. People might promote a different message, but it's not a different gospel. There's only one gospel. And Paul goes on to say, but if even we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. There's only one. There's only one true gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If. Don't read it so fast that you miss that little if. It's not like a big speed bump in the road. You hit it and you know it. It's just a little bump. That little word, if. Don't read it so fast that you miss it. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word, which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Very powerful passage right there. And then later on in the chapter, in verse 58, Paul wrote, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. With each other, we need to yield. I might need to yield my personal wants and give up and give reference to you in personal stuff. Give preference to the brethren. But when it comes to the gospel, you stand firm. You dig your heels in. You draw that line in the sand and you don't move. You don't yield. You don't turn tail and run. You stand your ground. That's what Paul is saying. You plant your feet and you be ready to give a defense for that gospel. Whatever it takes. With each other, personal things. Where do you want to eat? I'll leave it up to Frank. I may not like that place. But you know what? I will yield. When it comes to the gospel, you're going to have a fight on your hands with the gospel. Jude 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to continue for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Paul wrote in Philippians. Worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're going to close up with this verse. I think on the outline, I had this first under this category. I had one job to do, and I messed it up. I can't get good help these days. This verse scares me to death. I didn't know this verse when I was younger, but the concept of this verse got me baptized. I am not criticizing the motivation for some. Some might understand the sacrifice God gave them. And they're baptized out of an immense appreciation for what God and Jesus had done for them. I get that. Me, it was out of fear. I did not want to go to hell. When I came to the realization that the status of my life, if I didn't obey the gospel, I would go to hell. It scared me to death. I thought I was in a pretty saved situation. I was raised by a family that believed in God. I was raised in a family, we said prayers. I prayed, I think, probably every night. Tried to live by a pretty good set of moral standards. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Cornelius in Acts. I was okay. Wasn't as bad as some. Maybe not as good as others. Thought I was okay. Until I realized I'm not saved. And if I die, I'd be going to hell. I understood this verse before I ever read it. The concept. In flaming fire, vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. We throw that word around a lot. If you have not, I'm going to go back. If you have not obeyed that gospel, as in verse 8, obeying the gospel is obeying all the teachings that Jesus has given us. Mm-hmm. But obeying the gospel also is being baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. If you don't have to agree with me, it's Jesus' words. Take it up with Him sometime, and everybody's going to get a chance. Sometime. If you need to obey that gospel, we have the opportunity tonight. If you've strayed and you need to repent, don't take another moment. Repent. If there's something you have, a wedge between you and another brother, take care of that. If you need prayers of the congregation, We'd be glad to go to God on your behalf. If you're looking around for a church home, if you've looked at some congregations in town of the Lord's church and have visited us and would like to, this is kind of a good fit for you, and you know, maybe for whatever reason, as long as it's for the sound reasons and want to worship with us, great. We'd love to have you. Identify with us. You don't join us. God adds you, the Lord adds you when you're baptized, when you obey the gospel. Whatever we can do for you, please come forward, let your needs be known, while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.